Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Me being first-year captain and Leo being first-year head coach, I think we leaned on each other quite a bit just to, you know, obviously going through it together as first-timers. I thought he did a great job with the group. He lets us, you know, be ourselves and play free. He leans on his leaders to lead, and I thought that we had a really good relationship, and I thought he did a really good job as first-year.
There's Emmerich's captain, Mason Yopst. End of season for the Rochester Americans. Unfortunately, it ended Sunday evening in Laval. That North Division final series coming to a close, 5-0 loss. And the Rocket advanced to take on the Charlotte Checkers after dispatching the Amherst 3-2 in the best of 5 series.
Yeah, and Mike Leone, he were efforting, as we would mm-hmm. say as a radio word. So disappointing, game 5. Like, just to kind of go sideways like that. But the reality in this series is, Danger, that Laval was the better team. And had not Laval did this monkey business with the goaltenders, that might have been over in 4. The idea that, well, we're a developmental league and we got to develop and we got to check our guys out. Why didn't you start Primo in game 4? Hey, it was to the Amherst's benefit. And certainly, maybe the Amherst win that game anyways, but Fowler got yanked in that game. So the idea of the rotating goaltenders, when you clearly have one guy who's NHL ready in Caden Primo and another guy who was really good in college, but then again, he's really good in college. You want to put the best on the ice to win. I think that, you know, that worked in the Amherst's favor there, certainly in game 4.
Yeah, Primo had the Amherst's number, really the whole league's number all season long, just a historic season for the Rockets, netminder there. Now they go to Charlotte, take on the Checkers in the Eastern Conference Final. I guess we'll keep a side eye to that and look ahead towards next season. And just hearing Captain Mason Yopst there talking about the relationship he has with Coach Leo, you get the sense that they're going to try and keep that formula together. At mm-hmm. minimum, you bring back a lot of the same core guys and continue to grow some of the youth on this team. But I think ultimately when you talk about the difference between Laval and Rochester, it's that, right? It's youth versus experience. And even though a lot of the guys playing for the Amherst have gained some of that experience over the course of their time here and have been in the postseason now multiple years, they're still young. And I know that there's fans that are going to roll their eyes and say, like, okay, yeah, we hear this all the time. Do you need more grit? Do you need more veteran guys? Do you need... Mm. Well, yeah, I think if you want to win at the AHL level, they're trying to win at the AHL level while also developing these guys. And for it being what it is, I think the Amherst are one hell of a product. And they've done a great job in getting these guys, not just to be great professionals here at the AHL level, but many of them will also be a success at the NHL level.
5 first-round picks were on this roster from Buffalo. Yeah. 5. One, I can tell you for sure, ain't going to be here. Yuri Kulik, okay, that's it. He's a saver.
That will be it.
Bye-bye. On the other end, Ryan Johnson, like, dude, looking at my watch. Okay, yeah. Buddy, you need more here.
Like, opportunity is there.
Yeah, you got to show something next year. You're not going to be up in Buffalo. The one I'm kind of curious about is Rozane. Rozane is a guy, Danger, that if he shows up in September at Harbor Center and you know, does some things, maybe he sticks, but I see him, hey, you're going to start back in Rochester. That just a prediction, and how will you take to that?
There's a lot of chatter around the NHL with 4 teams still playing meaningful hockey, but the rest of the league kind of in off-season mode and working on trades. J.J. Paterka is the name that I keep hearing mm-hmm. being thrown around for the Sabres as far as a deal, and what does that look like, and what do the Sabres get in return? They don't need more prospects, obviously. I think that has a big part in what Roseanne looks like next September when they're trying to, you know, figure out who's playing where. But it would certainly be great to have somebody like that back with the Rochester Americans, have a little bit of extra firepower there offensively. And who else did we learn? Rushek is...
He's in the Swedish Hockey League. So he's gone altogether. So a six-round pick from the Sabres 2019. And boy, oh boy, I thought he was fantastic this playoff run. So, but he's probably looking at this danger and, all right, am I really going to break through? He did get a little time up in Buffalo, but all right, I can just take the route here, make more money, go back overseas.
Do we see Devon Levi back in Rochester next year? That's the question. And for me, I say yes.
Well, I went on Jeremy White's show, got the invite on Friday before Memorial Day, and I could tell, like, right at the beginning, well, and he read the tweet, and I got to live by the tweet, right? He said, hey, Buffalo, he's ready. Enjoy.
What more do you need to see?
What more do you need to see? And I'm not going to back off that, where, like, if Levi starts in Rochester, that's because the Sabres have signed a veteran goalie, kind of like how they did with Comrie, and you're going to have UPL. And, you know, UPL is a whole different conversation.
But, right. I wonder what that looks like. Again, when the Sabres, you know, get through the offseason, is UPL still on the squad? I bet you he is. And if he is, my guess is it's UPL and a veteran alongside him, much like it was this year, with Levi still marinating here and getting more reps and getting better in Rochester. Because I don't know what the benefit is of rushing any of these guys up. You've got so many prospects and you're so deep with you know, guys that were former first round picks that are playing here that can come up when the time is right. So Devon Levi for me is somebody that I would hope we get to see more of in Rochester. I'm not going to hold my breath, but that's my hope at least. Amherst head coach Mike Leone joining us one last time. And Coach, I know that the outcome wasn't what we wanted on Sunday, but I'll start by saying this season has been an absolute treat. You and the team should be held in high regard. I know that this was an unbelievable challenge for you, your first year coaching in the AHL, and I wanted to congratulate you on what I think was a good first season for you, Coach.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate you guys. Appreciate all the support. I thought the same thing. I thought it was a great season. Like, we just got beat by a really good team, and they, you know, to force a game five, you know, and they were probably played the best game they played all season in game five, and you know, credit to them. You know, they were finished this season, you know, with the best team in the league, and they showed it in the game, and I just really appreciated the fight in the guys. You know, game two, game four, on the brink of season over, and we push it to game five, and credit to them. And just some of our guys, like, you know, I know a lot of people were probably wondering, but, you know, Roos was playing Roos was playing on a torn meniscus, like, on one knee, gutted it out, Yabo, shoulder came out, Cozy had a concussion. And this is not by any excuse, just to speak of the group of, you know, fought to the end. And it was just, you know, a tough way to go out, but really proud of the guys in the season. And, you know, having 40 wins is really difficult in our league, and just a lot of great things that happened this year, and the fans, the whole thing. You know, it was an amazing year. I'm thrilled to be here, and it was awesome.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, Mike, you're and thank you for all your time this year, and you're doing your exit interviews with your players today. And if somebody was going to give you an exit interview, being year number one, what did you learn here your first year as a head coach at the professional level, and what were you be looking to improve? I'm assuming you're back next year, Coach?
Yeah, I'll be back. I'm not going anywhere. I love it. Love it here. I just think of just how hard the league is. I think that's the one thing, like, I just realized, like, any given night, there's not too much. I think once you get to this point, when you're down to the final eight, those teams have kind of separated themselves. But just the course of the season, how hard the league is every single night and playing our division, and that's probably the one thing. Just managing people. I think that, you know, you always hear about it, but dealing with your staff is my first time. Everybody was here before, so just a new, especially with our hockey staff, figure out what Vinny was really good at and empower him and Pacer. And, you know, there's always, if you're a competitive person and you want to win, you're always going to have doubt. Not that I doubted myself, but I was a really young coach. I only had 2 years of coaching experience, and a lot of the things I believe in and what we try to do, every coach is different in their philosophy. And I think the things that we did this year really worked and were good for me. And I think it's going to make me be a better coach in the long run.
When you look at that series against Laval, Coach, Emmerich's head coach Mike Leone joining us in the sports bar, were there differences in that roster and how it's constructed versus our roster? I mean, we talk about the youth and the skill of this Emmerich's team, and, you know, we're not going to question the grit or the toughness because we know that that's there. Is there a size component that was a factor in that series? Was there an experience component that was a factor in that series?
Yeah, I would say if you look at, like, yeah, they were definitely, I think it was probably, you know, if you look at the back end, like, their back end is probably, like, similar to our front end, and it's, like, all their high-end picks are on the back end, right? Like, Mayu, first-rounder, Reinbacher, first-rounder, Engstrom, you could argue, is the best one of all three, was the second-rounder, and then they insulated them, you know, like their D-core was all guys that have played over, you know, close to 400 or 500 games in the AHL. And then when you get to a series of playing in that environment, and they were, you know, all their D-core was really big, and they made it difficult in game five. I thought we did a really good job in the series of really making them work and play in their D-zone. But they got a lot of just experience. Like, you look at Dolphin, he's played a long time. Barbeau, Mayu, Trudeau, Hayes, Witherspoon, they were deep, and they were probably, they have young, but they were probably a little bit more experienced, I would say. But at the end of the day, we were, you know, you're one game away from going through the best team in the league, and it just, they, I think if you ask their coach, like, after game two, we played a perfect game. And in game five, they played a perfect game. It just so happened to be the deciding game. But I think if we get through, you know, anytime you score 4 goals in a game, you probably should win. And this is nothing against Dev. That's not what it's intending. But you'd like to think you'd steal game one or another game. And the game we lost there, it was probably the best we played in the series. It didn't look like it, but it was a 4-1 game. We had 10 minutes of ozone time to their 3. We just didn't capitalize on our opportunities. We weren't opportunistic on, you know, they had 4 scoring chances. They scored on all 4 of them, and that's how it goes sometimes. But I just think, you know, they had a really experienced group. You know, Primo's a guy that played in the, like, they were a really good team. Yeah. I think that's the best way I could have put it. You know, anytime you have 50 wins in a season is, like, we had 42, and it was the first time it's been done in 8 years. So, like, they had 50. Yeah. Like, they're just a real, we just ran into But really, we pushed them to the brink, but they were better than us in game five, and credit to them. You know, and we got off. You can't chase the game in that rink. So we took two penalties to start the game. They score on the power play, and all of a sudden, it's like you're in a different stratosphere, that arena, you know?
Yeah, we're talking to head coach Mike Leone one last time this season as the Amherst season wraps up with that game five loss at Laval. Coach, if you get game one, maybe we're not even getting to a game five.
No,
and the question is, like, I mean, I don't want to give a, you know, put an excuse in your mouth, so to speak, but the 13-day layoff, gosh, can that be addressed so something like that doesn't happen ever again? Like, what kind of challenge was that after you take care of Syracuse, but then you got to somehow keep the guys sharp here for 2 weeks without a game?
Yeah, no, it was tough for sure. Like, I actually thought, too, like, I thought we came out better than I thought we would, to be honest with you. Like, we actually played a good game. I mean, you never want to be off that time, just guys getting in a rhythm, especially the guys like Cooley and stuff that we had down from the NHL. Like, just to get them in a rhythm, too, because I thought they got to the rhythm at the end of the game three, and then it's almost like you got to start over. Like, not an excuse. It's just, you know, you get game one, like, you're feeling different about yourself. And we didn't do that. You know, it's a tie game with 5 minutes left, and they made a play. You always could play Monday morning quarterback. You'd like to have that one back. But it was a unique experience. I hope going forward in our league that just play every other day, to be honest with you.
Head coach Mike Leone, Rochester Americans, joining us. I want to play you some sound from your captain, Mason Yops.
It feels like there's a, you know, a pretty big group that could still stick together, which would be great. I think we've built a really good culture here and have a good thing going. We've been making some exciting runs as a group, and I think we all really enjoy playing here and being together. So I obviously would like to see everyone stick together.
That's your captain, first-year captain, your first-year head coach. It feels like the culture that you've kind of helped, Mason has kind of helped you build there as well with the assistants and everybody else in the staff. Boy, it'd be nice to get a lot of these guys back next season, wouldn't it?
It would. There's so many good people in the room, and you never know in, you know, sports, there's always family, money, things involved, but I hope, you know, over the next probably 2-3 weeks, it's already getting closer to June. I know we had a lot of exit interviews today, and it was all great. And, you know, I hope we do get a lot of guys back, because it is, you don't get this experience too often just with the type of people we had. And I hope you never know, but I hope we get a lot of the guys back.
Mike, now that you're entering your first full off season, like, what is next for you? Are you going to have say for example, you've got the draft coming up. Are you going to have a seat at the table here? What's coming up for you next year?
Yeah, I think I'll go. I was just talking to Jason about that, just because I know the age group really well. Not that I'll have an input on the draft, but coach a lot of the against, and some of the kids I actually coach that are in the draft. And then I'm on baby duty as soon as I get home. My wife is, she's on me. She's like, there's no way these exit meetings are taking so long.
And you're talking to the guys on the radio. I mean, come on. Yeah. We got a little one to deal with here. One more question I had about Devin Levi, and I think Gino and I maybe have a little bit of a different philosophy here on what we've seen from him this year. And I love the performance of Devin Levi through the course of this season. I think he was spectacular, but I also greedily want him back next year. Has he shown you enough where you're somebody who's developing him, in charge of kind of getting him ready for the next level? Have you seen enough out of Devin Levi for that next level to happen?
Yeah, there's two parts to it. I think for one, it's above my pay grade for sure to make the decision. I think he's put himself, I can say, like, he's taken huge strides in his game to where, yes, it's hard. You never know with goalies. It's such a unique experience to be an NHL goalie. And you look at even Skinner in the playoffs for Edmonton. Like, look at his path and just different guys that, you know, everybody's timetable is different. And if they feel it's Dev's timetable, than it is. But I just think it's really important for young goalies to start games. And I think if you look at the track record of goalies, it's over 100 starts in the American League, and I think he's getting close to that. And I just think it's important to grab the net and play, especially for a young goalie, and mature his game. And I thought it was a huge year for his growth. I mean, as his coach, I'd love to have him here, but I don't know.
Are your coaches back? What's the status of your two guys there, Pacer and Vinny?
I'm hoping. I'm really hoping. I think they'll be back. They have to speak to Jason. I know Vinny's contract up, but I'm pounding the table. I thought he did a great job. Pacer will be back. I think Vinny, you'll see Vinny back too, and I think he's really important to our group and did a great job with our younger players.
All right, Mike, go take care of your little one, man. It's been an unbelievable ride this season. It's been a pleasure to get to know you through the course of the season. We can't thank you enough for the time that you've given us here, the access that you've given us week in and week out in documenting this team and their growth and their development. Unfortunately, ending in the North Division Finals, but we're expecting big things again next year.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for all the support and getting to know you guys. And you guys have a great summer.
All right, you too. Mike Leone, okay. Head coach, Rochester Americans. One last time, and we'll talk to him, September?
Yeah, it's always bittersweet. Yeah. I don't like that. Today is a day where it's like, I love talking to the coach, you know, whether it's Leona. We talked to Seth for years. It's always bittersweet when the season ends and you feel like there was still some meat on the bone. Like, we allowed ourselves to envision through the course of this season when they were riding the wave and they were the best team in the league for a period of time. They're like, this could be different. This year could be different. And I think it was different. I mean, he made it different. His style is unlike anything I think I've ever seen in a head coach. But it works. It resonates with his team. Can you get a roster now? You know, and he kind of inadvertently said, like, Laval has guys that have played in the AHL for a long time.
His style resonates with that age group. Meaning, whenever you listen to him, even when... oh my gosh, that was terrible. He will point out the positives in front. Sometimes he'll like get on the guys a little bit, you know, for sure. But it's not of the fire and brimstone. We like that. No, that is not Mike Leone. He's somebody that will explain the sport of hockey, and anybody who plays him, like, okay, this guy actually knows a lot of hockey here. Hard not to respect a guy like that. And again, not the same guy as Seth Appert. Same background, but
yes.
Two different
Different personalities.
Yeah, and I think we all came to kind of really love and respect here Mike Leone. So it's, you know, it's a good year where it's like, okay, let's, I don't want October to come, spare me those tweets,
yeah.
No, but when it's here, we'll be ready. Yeah. I don't want to overlook the fact that the American Hockey League screwed Rochester on this with that schedule. 13 days. The game one loss, Danger. Quote, this is Leone. Once we got to the second period, we got to our game. The margin for error is really small against a team like that. That was his quote from game one, where the Amherst were trailing Laval in the first. They ended up tying in the third. They ended up losing in the final minutes of regulation. In that, and point number two, this BS best of 5-2-3 format.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes the AHL look like an unserious organization. But it is, I mean, in what should be a developmental league, you would think, yeah, give them a 7-game series. But tough way to end the season with the 5-0 loss to Laval. And admittedly, probably the best team in the AHL this year. By record, they were. And the way they're playing right now, they're going to be a hard out.
Laval and Charlotte didn't play once this year.
Right.
So, don't know. None of these teams. So,
should be a fun series.
Well, and you know what? Francesa.
now we've tuned out. Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, who cares?
Right. Yeah. We will get to happy hour next in the sports bar. The Bills are back on the field, OTAs. But, well, there's a couple of news items here, neither of which are truly surprising. We'll explain. We have time for your calls as well if you want to join us. 585-866-4FAN is the phone number. 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.